What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. We're not opening the phone lines just yet because I want to get through more of this news, but we will open the phone lines in a little while, so please have patience there. Getting on back to wokeness and political correctness, there are professors from the University of Arizona and the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs are out there saying that success and merit are barriers to the equity agenda. They're saying that merit is unjust because it rewards productive individuals. Well, yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. So Professors Beth Michnick and Jesse L. Smith wrote for Inside Higher Education saying that we need to get rid of meritocracy and because what we want is true equity, which means everybody is forced to be equal. Now, the Declaration says all men and presumably women are created equal, but what that really was a repudiation of the then prevalent idea that some people were born noble, that if you were born into the nobility, you were automatically better than everybody else. And the foundation of the United States was, no, there is no nobility. In fact, there was originally an amendment to the Constitution basically forbidding titles of nobility in the United States of America. So that's what that really is all about. And, everybody said equality be good, and what they were talking about was equality of opportunity, equal access to education, equal access to credit. And then politicians realized that even with equal opportunity and access to education and credit, people weren't becoming equal because we are all different in our talents and our desire to excel. So it was more politically expedient to mandate the equality of outcome rather than of the circumstances allowing people the opportunity to do well. And this is an extension of that insanity. They want a world in which everybody is forced to be absolutely equal, academically, physically, gender-wise, I guess is part of that. And it is complete nonsense. You cannot prosper a nation by pulling the top down to the level of the bottom, which is what equity really means. You can't pull the bottom up. All you can do is pull the top down. And this nonsense about getting rid of the merit system is an example of that kind of thinking. All right. Let's see. Attorney General Merrick Garland has announced a federal lawsuit against Texas over the heartbeat abortion law. This is clearly unconstitutional because this is the federal government intruding into the internal workings of a state here. Meanwhile, left-wing activists staged a protest outside Brett Kavanaugh's home after he rejected the challenge to the Texas law. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was attacking Governor Abbott over the state's new abortion law, and she used the phrase menstruating persons, because you're not supposed to say men or women, that's not politically correct. So she said menstruating persons, and Ocasio-Cortez insisted that not only women menstruate, but also trans men and non-binary people. I mean, this girl needs to take high school biology all over again. And according to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, little prepubescent girls and elderly women past menopause who don't menstruate must not be real women. I mean, that's just how silly all of this stuff is getting. Over in New York, the governor there is calling for Facebook to crack down on the pro-lifers, claiming that pro-lifers are putting out rampant misinformation on abortion. Well, there's not really much misinformation about abortion. It involves sucking this kid out, grinding him up, and throwing him in the trash. We're actually selling him off to a laboratory someplace. getting into gun rights, the Biden administration is signaling an intention to join the United Nations Global Gun Registration Treaty, followed by a nationwide confiscation effort. Now, recently, the gun registry over in Great Britain got hacked, and that information was made public. So I don't think we want a larger registry, because it will be a target for the hackers. And I imagine probably the British and the Australians are regretting now giving up their guns. Over at the Atlantic, one of their writers is saying there needs to be a cultural war on gun ownership. And he's basically is expressing his belief that ordinary Americans are too stupid to take stock of their own circumstances and determine how to best defend themselves and their families. You know, that's what we have police for, except the police are all being defunded. Now, a little bit of good news. The United States Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals has ruled that bump stocks are not machine guns. And they're going against this 2018 order classifying them as such following that false flag shooting out there in Las Vegas. And the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives issue a new interpretation of the rule that contradicted the ATF's previous interpretation from the 1930s. Okay, and the judges added that the change in definition was altered without passing legislation, meaning the bump stock ban is legally questionable. For that matter, so is Biden's vaccine mandate. And the White House has now officially pulled the nomination of David Chipman that Biden wanted running the ATF, and shooting enthusiasts, Second Amendment enthusiasts are celebrating that because Chipman made no bones about the fact that he didn't think ordinary Americans should have guns at all. Down in Australia, their high court, their equivalent of our Supreme Court, has ruled that Facebook users are responsible for the content of complete strangers who post defamatory comments on their posts. And the ruling upholds a June 2019 ruling by the Supreme Court of New South Wales, home to Australia's largest city of Sydney. It's a beautiful city, by the way. And it runs counter to how virtually everyone thinks about liability on the internet. And my guess is probably a lot more people are going to be leaving Facebook with this one here. YouTube has removed all the context boxes regarding the New World Order conspiracy site-wide after Australia's Carrie Chant admits contact tracing is part of the New World Order plans. Remember, we talked about that last week. Two of these Australian officials came on out and just openly said contact tracing is part of the plans for the New World Order here. And down in Texas, a lot of good things coming out of Texas here. Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill last Thursday to protect Texans from wrongful social media censorship based on their political views. And the bill passed during a special session in August. And so people who live in Texas, if they are censored for their political views on any social media company, they can legally sue for damages. So lawyers are going to be busy down there in Texas. TikTok is in a little bit of hot water. Somebody decided to do a little bit of a check. This was over at the Wall Street Journal. They had one of their people create a TikTok account stating that their age was 13. And TikTok's algorithms were serving up sexual content, content about drugs and alcohol. And it said, you know, clearly this is a 13-year-old user. And on TikTok's For You page, the investigation revealed sexually oriented videos were included on that page. Now, TikTok has responded by saying they're working on a better filter tool for the younger accounts. Okay. All right, if you own an iPhone or an iPad, you need to get the latest patch. I know we're all waiting for iOS 15 to come on out, but you need to get the iOS 14.8, I think it is here, because security researchers determine that the Pegasus spyware from Israel-based NSO group can exploit and infect the iPhone and iPad through a maliciously crafted PDF file. So Apple issued a patch that blocks that exploit, and so you need to definitely do an update on that. Let's see. Yandex is battling the largest distributed denial-of-service attack in Russian internet history. Now, Yandex is global. They're very big in Russia, and they basically are a search engine that does not censor, and as a result, they are not well-loved by the current regime, and so somebody somewhere is definitely angry with them. Over in Singapore, they're testing robots that will patrol the streets for undesirable behavior like smoking. And the robots are known as Xaviar, are equipped with cameras that provide 360-degree coverage and sensors that allow them to navigate in public and analyze potential public safety violations. Singapore is very, very strict, by the way, here. Okay. Biden officials are now out there claiming how solar power can provide nearly half the nation's electricity by the year 2015. You know, Afghanistan was a disaster. The vaccine mandate isn't working. So they're dragging out human-caused global warming. And as a matter of fact, when Biden was in Idaho, he was talking about that as well, trying to blame those wildfires on climate change. When the reality is, and One American News was reporting on this just yesterday, it was the failure to keep the fire breaks open and to basically do preventative maintenance on those forests here. Meanwhile, story coming on out of LifeSite News, the Arctic sea ice is expanding. Ooh, Al Gore is angry about that one here. And we're less than 10 years away from the oft-claimed tipping point for the planet, past which we will all be doomed. But sea ice in the Arctic Ocean is the highest it has been in the last 9 years. It has increased more than 30% from last year. And my sense is we're going to have a really nasty winter this year. We had a couple of mild ones here, but my instincts are telling me it's going to be rough this year. And the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they've issued their report for 2021, and it basically undermines claims of intense temperature increases. And again, there are accusations that the global warming people like to fudge the data. That certainly was the case with the email and computer code leak from the Hadley Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia that came to be known as ClimateGate here. Representative Dan Crenshaw is out there responding to Bernie Sanders' latest climate rant, saying it's not actually about climate change, it's about control. Okay, yesterday SpaceX launched 51 Starlink internet satellites into polar orbit. Tomorrow the civilians in space are going to be launched, and I wish them a lot of luck. And SpaceX is going to have their first Falcon Heavy launch in 2 years in early October. All righty, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. 512-248-8252. And, oh, my goodness, we already have callers waiting on there. So let's go to Joshua in New York. Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Hello, Joshua.
Hi. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. What's going on?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. So, yeah, just wanted to bring up... Yep, I wanted to bring up stuff about 9/11 real quick over the weekend. BitChute, there was a video. I'm going to tell you right now exactly the thing. It's Myth Chronicler. You go to BitChute.com. I don't know if you've heard of BitChute.com before. I think you have.
Yeah, I use BitChute
and then,
myself.
You go to Myth Chronicler. M-I-T... Yeah, M-I-T-H-C-H-R-O-N-I-C-L-E-R. Now, it's a video from 2001, supposedly 9/11, and it's a guy, a kid or whatever, who's showing the first tower got hit. That's where it starts off. Like, you don't see the first tower getting hit. You just see that there was something happened, and it's smoking and all that. There's a hole.
Okay, you know, there
and
is
then,
a
like,
video of the first
in,
tower being hit.
See,
it's part of the Nogue Brothers documentary.
No, okay,
Joshua?
So there is one?
There is a video of the first plane hitting the first tower.
And it's supposed to be Okay, so this other video, you should check it out and see it and all that. Everyone should look at it. Myth Chronicler on BitChute.com. And then also there was a guy who supposedly has come forward on 9/11 of this the other day. And he said that he was one of the people that helped plant charges in the actual 9/11 building in the Twin Towers.
I saw
and
that
he
one.
Stated
we
he was
ran
also
that
somebody
story.
From like 2001, I think.
You know, he's got a fatal disease also... and decided to come clean.
Okay.
All right. Well.
And all right. So then, when it comes to that, I think that was pretty much what I had to mention.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to go to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I'll keep this real short. You know, exemption that the Biden placed that postal service just have to be, right?
Okay, you're kind of breaking up there. Can you get the microphone closer to your mouth?
Well, I'm in my car, so I may not be able to do that. You know, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right. The postal system. Biden exempted them from the vaccinations, right?
Yes.
All right. Can you think of why that would be, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, I made a joke the other day that he was basically rewarding them for having delivered all the false ballots that got him into office. but frankly, postal workers, especially those on the delivery routes, I mean, they're potentially major carriers of any illness. And so it doesn't make sense. Now, the White House is claiming that... the post office workers will be vaccinated, but the authority is coming from some other place in the government.
All right. Well, so here's what I want to bring up. It's exactly what you just said. They are the most efficient delivery system. They handle every piece of snail mail physically. They go to every single door from the wilds of Alaska to Florida to everywhere in between. And they're under total federal control, right?
I mean, yes.
They don't get paid. So if you're going to have one group of people in the United States that you need to have to deliver whatever bad thing that you need to deliver, can you think of a better delivery system than the U.S. Postal Service?
I see what you're saying, yes.
Well, that was my first insight that I wanted to give you, but I'll let you go. I know you're short. There's other callers.
All right. Well, Peter, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. you were talking about that iOS 14.8
yes.
Update.
Yes.
You're waiting for 15?
Yep.
You know what I say? Why wait? Just smash the stupid thing. They can't contact trace you. They can't. Is that the music, Mike?
Yeah, it is. Stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to come right back to you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Al in Canada. We're talking about iPhones and iPads and iOS 15. And Al, as I understand it, you have a rather dramatic way of dealing with cybercrime and privacy issues.
Yes, I don't partake in it at all, period. Mm-hmm. I don't get involved. I use cash. I don't use a cell phone. I have Magic Jack that's run by the Israelis. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I use a VPN.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there? I can't be tracked.
Well, you know, the reality, I mean, great that you can do that. The reality is that for the vast majority of people, cell phones and laptops have become an indispensable part of their lives, and we're just going to have to live with that. But again, it is important that you put this patch into your Apple products and not just wait for iOS 15, okay?
You know what, Mike? I don't believe that. If I can live without a cell phone and without social media, anyone can, because no one... There's not one person, there's not one entity, there's not one group of people. Well, we could be a group of people. There's nothing that's going to stop this intrusion on our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. They can't contact trace people. if they don't know where they are. It's very simple. And on top of that, and this is the best part, these people that are monetizing your data, they can't monetize it anymore. It hurts them in the pocketbook, right where it counts. Right?
Yeah.
That's what capitalism and the free market economy is actually all about. You want to hurt someone? Do it with your wallet. I've got a friend that just got off of social media, and he's actually thinking, seriously thinking about giving up the cell phone because he knows he doesn't really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I'm out and about, you know, doing my thing, you know, on the town, as it were, or whatever, I actually think when I see people talking on the phone
mm-hmm.
or it rings all of a sudden and, you know, they answer it, I think to myself, why? Why would anybody want to be bothered? You know, maybe people are lonely or, they have a low sense of self-worth or whatever. And you know, when they get their likes and, you know, the phone rings, they're like, oh, someone cares. You know what, Mike? No one cares.
Well, you know, obviously that works for you. You know, doesn't work for me. You know, I'm a communications freak, and I wear my cell phone pretty much everywhere I go, and it's on my nightstand charging at night. it's in silent mode, of course, so people don't wake me up with calls about my extended car warranty and things like that. Anyway, Al, thanks a lot for your point of view here, and we're going to let you go. Now, getting on back to the news, tomorrow, SpaceX's Crew Dragon is going to launch into orbit with the first all-civilian crew. They're going to orbit for 3 days. And, you know, this is going to be a first. This is going to be the first civilian crew. So I'm wishing them a lot of luck. I hope it really works on out here. All right. There is a project coming up from NASA in November of this year. NASA is going to run a test of a potential system for preventing an asteroid impact on Earth. It's called DART, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, and they're aiming for literally a moon around an asteroid. There's an asteroid out there has its own moon, and they're going to ram this 500-kilogram spacecraft into this moon at over 23,000 kilometers per hour, hopefully changing the moon's velocity by a tiny amount. Now, the thinking here is that in the future, if we spot an asteroid a long ways off that is headed toward Earth, a future DART-like spacecraft can hit it and just nudge it enough that it its course changes and it misses the Earth. There is a new paper out, though, saying that if it doesn't actually hit the exact center of mass, the moon will tumble rather than change course. We've got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back. Sorry, I'm a minute early. I thought I heard the music. Okay. The James Webb Space Telescope is finally getting a launch date. It will be launched on December 18th of this year. There have been so many delays and, you know, a lot of people criticizing NASA for how long it took to get here. But we are finally here. And the James Webb Space Telescope, which is gigantic compared to the Hubble, is going to be launched aboard an Ariane 5 launch vehicle from French Guiana. So now we're coming up on the commercial break. We'll be back with more news after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey,
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons. Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
All right, welcome back to our show here. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. Getting on back to the space news, Perseverance has now successfully taken two rock samples, and analysis on those samples by Perseverance is showing indications that Mars had a potentially habitable, sustained environment. And this, of course, is a little bit of vindication for us Viking people here. And project scientists say Perseverance's first ever rock sample is basaltic in composition, means like lava, maybe the product of a lava flow, and the rocks may have formed from the rapid cooling of low viscosity lava, and a long dead volcano could be the culprit, and there are a lot of volcanoes on Mars right now. More pertinent to the possibility of a formerly habitable world is the presence of salt minerals in the rocks, signs that groundwater may have once flowed through them, or perhaps collected on top of them and then evaporated away, leaving the salt behind. Now, this issue of life on Mars has been contentious. The Viking landers, did have an experiment that reported finding indigenous life, It had a second experiment which said no, but that experiment has since been determined to have had a design flaw where it would not work with the high content of perchlorates in the Martian soil. And I understand that, you know, NASA doesn't want to be embarrassed. There was that whole thing about the Martian meteor that appeared to have fossil bacteria in it, and everybody's saying, oh, no, no, couldn't be. I remember during Viking, we were getting all kinds of nasty communication from the religious who said there couldn't possibly be life on Mars because then Earth wasn't going to be unique, and God was not going to sit up nights to admire us here. So I would like to see a little vindication here that Mars does still have indigenous life. It's going to be a little hard picking it out, though, because whereas Viking was sterilized before launch to prevent any earthbound germs from reaching Mars, later spacecraft didn't go through that stringent a cleaning. And so if life is found on Mars, they're going to have to go through the additional steps to determine if it is indigenous to Mars or if, in fact, it's something that was transplanted from Earth here. All righty. Now, Michael Brown is a Caltech astronomer. He was the guy leading the campaign to demote Pluto to a dwarf planet all the way back in 2006. And I'm an old timer. I still think Pluto is a planet. But he has co-written a new study that claims to have narrowed the region where a potential new planet might be located. So the search is on again. They used to call it the 10th planet search. Now they're calling it the 9th planet search. And I remember when I worked at Table Mountain, any time that the astronomer scheduled to use the telescope failed to show up, which actually did happen on occasion, we would search the area where they said Planet 10 was to be found. We didn't find it, obviously, here. Alrighty, so they're still out there looking for an extra planet. And the reason they're doing that is the orbits of the known planets, they don't exactly match predictions. There is something out there tugging on them. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones now to Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I was interested to hear what you said about the composition of the rocks on Mars. You said they were basaltic in composition, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, well, that's the ocean basins right there.
Yeah.
And the same thing as the Hawaiian Islands, the Galapagos Islands, I've been to both.
Yes.
I mean, what that tells you is that Mars has a mantle with a composition like this, as out of Earth. It's a ferromagnesium-rich mantle. So that's another thing that really underscores the overall similarity between the geology of Mars and the geology of Earth. You know, I've looked at Mars a great deal from various satellite imagery, and really, if you didn't know you were looking at Mars, you'd think you were on Earth in many cases. You know, I've seen photos from the various explorers there showing landscapes with very clearly defined cross-bedded sandstones, desert sandstones, for example. And really, as I said, if you didn't know you were looking at Mars, you'd think you were looking at an image somewhere on Earth. Mars, really, I think, overall is probably about 99% similar to Earth with respect to its overall composition.
Oh, yeah, well, the geology is definitely there. I mean, Mars has more craters than Earth, but, you know, going all the way back to the early Mariner missions, you know, you could see very obvious stream and riverbeds and, you know, features indicating flows of massive water. And that came as a bit of a shock to a lot of people because I was literally born in a time when most people on Earth thought Mars was very much like Earth, had an advanced civilization, and those mariners went out there, and a lot of people were expecting to see Schiaparelli's canals, and instead they saw a surface that was more moon-like than Earth-like, and they all said, oh, shucks, you know, and everything. So that was a big cultural change there.
Oh, I see. You must have read the Martian Chronicles, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Actually, Ray Bradbury was a friend.
Was he really?
Yeah.
How did you get to meet him?
I met him first when I was going to Cal State Fullerton. He was friends with one of my teachers, Kirk Mee. And then I ran into him again when I was working at 20th Century Fox. And I actually smuggled him into the Magic Castle, even though he was wearing a pair of jeans, which is absolutely verboten. So, we stayed in touch over the years, and I was sorry to hear of his passing.
Oh, I adored Ray Bradbury. I've read everything he's ever written. I'm fortunate I have an autographed copy of the Martian Chronicles. It's not a first edition copy, but I have a second edition copy of the Martian Chronicles, and it's sitting up there.
I had an autographed photo, but that's one of the things that got lost going from Oahu to here. I had a whole box of pictures of like Gene Roddenberry and Gene Simmons and Gene Seberg, that all got lost. Heartbroken.
He seemed like a really nice guy.
He was just wonderful, and in fact, gifted me a copy of the Halloween tree when I was going through the aftermath of my mother's passing. So he was as nice in person as he appeared to be in his public presentations.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite book of his?
I would have to say it's probably Rendezvous. No, that's Arthur Clarke. I'm sorry. Martian Chronicles would definitely be it.
Yeah, I'd say Martian Chronicles as well. I really have to look back at something like Fahrenheit 451 as an outstanding novel. But then some of his other novels, such as Something Wicked This Way Comes, for example, is really an outstanding novel as well. He's a writer who never wrote anything I didn't like, but the Martian Chronicles really stood out, and I think I've read that probably five times or more. Just a remarkable writer, you know. And I thought
he was
of the exploration of Mars was absolutely beautiful.
He actually wrote a play called The Wonderful Ice Cream Suit, and it was performed in a small theater in Hollywood, and I got to go see him there as well.
Well, Kyle, I'm glad you got a chance to meet Ray Bradbury. You're the first person I know who has. And
you're one degree of separation away.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I know that. Now I'll look at you with more with renewed respect. I love Bradbury, and he's one of the writers. I grew up at a time when science fiction was really all the rage among my classmates.
Yeah, me too. I mean, yeah. 2001 A Space Odyssey is the film that inspired me to go into visual effects.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that movie. I read the book too, Arthur C. Clarke's book, and I was amazed by that as well. There's another book I read years ago by Fred Hoyle. It was October the 1st, It's Too Late. I don't know if you had a chance to read that one, but I highly recommend.
No, I missed that one. You know,
great book.
I liked Ringworld by Larry Niven. I liked the whole Neuromancer series by William Gibson. I'm a big science fiction fan.
Oh yeah. Well, I've got shelves and shelves in my library devoted to science fiction. Older science fiction.
I'm not a big fan of going to the conventions, but I'm definitely a fan of the books and the movies. Anyway, listen, Kelly, need to let you go here. We're running short on time, and we're going to switch over to James in Vancouver. Hello, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, good afternoon. I was doing some checking here, and Mars, or they're talking about its atmospheric content. It's got carbon dioxide, some water vapor, but it doesn't say it has any nitrogen. I'm wondering if that might be a problem.
It would certainly be a problem. Well, you know, I mean, when life evolves, they evolve to deal with the environment that they evolve in. This idea that we're only going to find life on planets just like Earth is rather chauvinistic, in my opinion. And I think the extremophiles we find on this planet illustrates that. We're very comfortable on Earth because we evolved here. Any life that has evolved on Mars is probably going to be very comfortable there. Any life that's swimming in those methane pools on Titan is probably going to be very comfortable there. And so we shouldn't try and judge other possible biological environments based on our Earth prejudices.
Under nitro comes phosphor, am I right?
You mean on the periodic table?
Yeah.
No, nitrogen is a noble gas. No, I'm sorry. No, it's not a noble gas. Yeah.
Nitrogen, I think phosphor. Well, maybe if they could use phosphor. They could use something else that's got similar properties.
Yeah, they could. That may be a good way to distinguish between Earth life and Martian life is to look for that kind of chemistry.
Yeah. Could I ask one more question?
Sure.
The SpaceX, okay, that is a rocket that goes straight up. Am I right?
The one that's going up tomorrow is going to go into orbit for 3 days.
Oh, it'll orbit for 3 days. Now, when it lands, how does it land? On its right back on the bottom, on its pad, or does it have some kind of a how does it land?
Well, the booster will land, hopefully, on its legs. That's part of SpaceX's plan. The actual capsule itself will reenter the Earth's atmosphere and, I presume, land underneath parachutes.
Okay. But the other ones that went up a couple months ago, they went up, Branson and those guys. It goes up, but does it come down with a retro rocket then? Like a retro rocket?
It basically falls toward the Earth. And again, we're talking two separate items here, because at the top of its suborbital flight, the capsule separates and the capsule comes down on parachutes. The booster glides back down to towards the Earth, and then as it gets close to the Earth, it fires one of its rocket engines to slow it down and bring it in for a landing.
Oh, so it lands with that retro rocket then? That's interesting.
Just like the old 1950s science fiction movies.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of those Thunderbirds Are Go and those...
I remember that show. Yep.
Yeah, and that was very... this is what I think they're doing. Their rocket is much better. They're using that kind of thing, right? So,
yes.
Okay, well, thanks kindly. I'll get back to you then.
All right, thank you very much here. And again, we still have open phone lines. We're almost to the end of the program there, 512-248-8252. Getting on back to NASA, there is the Deep Space Network. This is satellite spacecraft communication systems. They're spread across three continents. There's one of them in Goldstone, California, which I've actually had the honor of visiting. There's another down in Australia and another one in Spain. But NASA has so many spacecraft up there now, they're really overloaded, and so NASA is getting ready to add more dishes to the Deep Space Network. And I remember when Claire and I were living on Oahu, we would hike along the North Shore, and there was a NASA tracking station there as well. And I remember just seeing that dish, track something across the sky and then immediately slew over and track something else and then slew over and track something else again. So they're really working that system very, very hard. Getting on back to the space station, last Thursday, they had a smoke alarm go off, and the astronauts claimed they could smell something burning, and it's been tracked to the Russian segment of the space station, and they're still trying to figure out exactly what happened there, because fire in space is a very, very serious situation. Alrighty, in April of this year, the European Commission's Health Division published a working document in which it announced that the European Union's GMO regulations were not fit for purpose. And the commission made suggestions that could lead to crop plants produced using experimental new GMO techniques, such as gene editing, being exempted from the requirements of the regulation. Now, this has got all kinds of safety people, health people upset. They're slamming the commission over this idea of deregulating GMOs. And there are a total of 57 different groups consisting of non-governmental organizations, a peasant farmer organization, business trade associations, have all contacted the commission strongly opposing this deregulation of GMOs. And frankly, I don't blame them one tiny little bit. Okay, now, let's see. Getting on to some other news here. We have a caller on the line. Oh, we got to take a break, and then we have a caller on the line. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here. Last segment of our program on this Tuesday, and we're going to go to James in Charlotte. Hello, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I just thought I'd hit you with a Ray Bradbury trivia question to wind up the program with. Do you know the title of the single Twilight Zone episode that he scripted?
Oh, man. I remember that he did script one. I remember that he actually was a script doctor on the Gregory Peck version of Moby Dick. I don't remember the Twilight Zone episode, though.
Yeah, it was in the third season. The title was I Sing the Body Electric.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course, yes, you're right.
Yeah. It was about a robotic grandmother.
Yeah, I remember the episode.
Father gets for his children.
Yeah, I remember the episode.
Yeah. It happened to be the episode number 100 of the of that series of the Twilight Zone. It's just,
you know, I loved that original Twilight Zone. I know they tried to revive it back, I think it was in the 80s, without much success because, you know, you couldn't get away with that kind of daring writing. You know, Hollywood was already starting to sort of close on in. And a lot of people, they look back at that original Star Trek, and, you know, the production values are nowhere near what the new franchises are, but the show was popular because they were writing about things that were really kind of groundbreaking for the time. I mean, TV's first interracial kiss was between Kirk and Uhura. It had never, ever been done before, and it made history when they did that.
Yeah, the original series holds up really well. I mean,
yes, it does. Well, they've remastered
it. Almost 60 years old now.
Yeah, they've remastered it. It's BBC America is running it, and all of the effects work has been replaced with new CGI, so it's actually a lot spiffier.
Yeah. Okay, just thought I'd try and puzzle you.
All right, well, you got me on that one. You got me on that one. All right, thank you for the phone call. Anyway, we're coming to the end of the program, and, you know, I'd like to say stay tuned for the results of the recall election, but I think it's a study in foregone conclusions. There are reports coming out all over of massive fraud. Apparently, a lot of the polling stations are reporting that their computers are saying people have already voted. I presume no. And so we're going to wake up tomorrow, and Gavin Newsom is still going to be governor of California, and California is going to continue its long, slow glide into utter desolation and dystopianism, if you will. All righty, so we're coming up here on the end of the program. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller. I understand he's got a very important guest. You're going to want to hear that. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of WhatReallyHappened.com. Please donate. It is urgent at this time. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha. Oh, let's see. Roger Sales is John's guest. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.